You're listening to Misunderstanding Dementia Podcast. This episode is brought to you by Misunderstanding Dementia Course, and you can put in 50 to get a 50% discount on the course. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Mike Chua, physical therapist, certified dementia practitioner, and the author of Misunderstanding Dementia. Today, we've got a special guest on our podcast. We have Mr. Ralph Flake. He's from Indiana, and he has family members who has dementia. It's actually her sister, who's actually living right now in a nursing home, and also her mother, who had dementia, too. As of now, he's working as a supervisor for a direct support care company. So, again, let's welcome our guest for today, Mr. Ralph Flake from Indiana.
Thank you, Mike, for the warm welcome.
Well, Ralph, is there anything else that we need to know about you, you know, aside from that intro I mentioned? I mean, what's going on with your life right now?
Well, sir, just keeping busy as working in the direct support care profession. Besides that, I do a fundraising walk in memory of my mom and for my sister and others that are suffering from this disease. So I've been working hard on fundraising for that and just in spreading awareness. So those things keep me quite busy, so, and things that I'm quite passionate about.
Oh, wow. You mentioned about fundraising. What specific group are you or association are you promoting or fundraising at?
I do the Walk to End Alzheimer's Alzheimer's Association, local chapter here in Indiana. This will be my sixth year in a row doing the walk.
Oh, wow. Well, you beat me to that. I mean, I've been doing this for the walk for, walk to end Alzheimer's for just a year. So I think you're doing a good job in doing this for 6 years. So maybe if you can send the link of your, fundraiser, send it to me and then we'll post it also here on the podcast and also on the blog itself. That way we can also spread the awareness. So you're basically based in Indiana, right? So,
yes, correct.
All right, so that's really good. That's really good. Well, let's go ahead and go through all our fire questions that we have. So, next question would be, where are you from? Who are you taking care of? And I guess let's just go over that first. You know, where are you from and who are you taking care of?
Yes, I'm from Indianapolis, Indiana. Mm-hmm. Who I take care of would be my sister, Barbara.
Mm-hmm. Where's she at right now? She's on an assisted living facility or nursing home.
She is currently residing in a nursing home facility.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. So the next question would be, how did you end up being the caregiver for them?
Well, both my sister and I took care of our mother, Eva, who suffered from dementia. She suffered with dementia for about 9 or 10 years when she was diagnosed. And she was in a nursing facility as well. And my sister and I primarily took over the caregiving role as my sister is my mother's only daughter. I'm my mother's youngest child. So we've always been extremely close to our mom, and we wanted to definitely, it wasn't even a thing that we talked about. It was just like we just automatically, organically knew that we were going to be there for her in terms of visiting and supporting her and just constantly making our presence aware with the nursing facility.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Well, you mentioned about nursing facilities. I mean, your mother and your sister, how did you decide that that you take them to the nursing home? Because a lot of our listeners and, you know, my followers, they would always ask me about, hey, when do you think I should put my mother in the nursing home? When do you think it's the right time? Some people won't even want to go to the nursing home. So, I mean, when did you decide that they need to go to the nursing home?
But I believe the decision came when we recognized that their safety was in jeopardy in both cases. a lot of times people with dementia tend to have episodes of wandering, where they will not realize that they're at home. They'll wander into neighborhoods and anywhere. And recognizing the danger in that is when we made decisions that are hard to make. Because, of course, no one really wants to put their loved one in a nursing home, I don't think. Not normally. So once the endangerment to themselves factor came involved, that's when the decision had to be made to do everything that we could to make sure that they were safe. And that meant a nursing facility that was, 24/7, because none of us could unfortunately take our our mom or my sister home with us, jobs and things of that nature. So once the safety aspect came involved, or, where they were themselves were in danger, that's when the decision was made that in order to make sure that they were safe, they had to be in a more of a secured nursing facility.
That's good. That's good. So for our listeners out there, you know, one takeaway on that thing that Ralph said is about, you know, the safety. It's very important that you think about not only the safety of your loved ones, but at the same time, the safety of you yourself and the people surrounding your loved ones. So, consider that too.
Yeah, because not only were they in danger to themselves, but yeah, they would pose danger to others. And of course, it's not their fault. They can't help it. Yeah, I forgot to mention that as definitely a point that was involved in our decision making as well.
That's good. That's good. But another thing that that nursing home, you know, if you're considering nursing home for your loved ones, if you're listening and you're wanting to take your loved ones to a nursing home, think about too. You know, go online. You're listening online right now. I assume you know how to Google. So go online and Google and look for those ratings. There are a lot of nursing homes out there. Check their rating. If it's like 4-star or 5-star, you know, do they have a good rating through Medicare? Because you will see the level of care when it comes there. You know, I know you get what you pay for, most especially with nursing homes. So make sure you're doing your investigation when taking to your loved ones to a nursing home. And also do, you know, actual visits. You know, go to those nursing homes and check them out. Do they have activities? You know, do they have a therapy team? Do they have, you know, a good nursing program or a memory care program? So that's one of our tips for you today. All right. Thank you for that, Ralph. So anything that you can add on that?
No, you pretty much covered the bases. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because definitely part of our decision in terms of placing our loved ones in nursing facilities was doing, like you said, researching reviews, not just researching online, but also going to talking to staff, and just kind of observing, a lot of observing. We did a lot of observing in terms of how the staff interacted with the residents, whether we, you know, was happy with what we saw, or whether we said, this probably wouldn't be a good fit for our loved ones. So you definitely touched on some very good, important points in terms of definitely researching reviews, and also just going in and talking to staff, talking or observing the residents and seeing how the staff interact with them. Those are definitely key important factors in terms of placing your loved one in a nursing facility.
Like what you said about observing the staff, because that's very important, you know, because those staff will be the one who will take care of your parents or your loved ones. And it's very important that you have, you know, a good observation and at the same time, a good relationship with them before you go in. So that's very good. Thank you for that suggestion there. For the next question, Ralph, what was your major struggle when you were doing this?
My major struggle when doing this in terms of placing him in a nursing home? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
The major struggle. I would say, well, one struggle in particular that comes to mind is just knowing that they're no longer home, in their own home. I mean, just really adapting and getting used to that as a change. That was the most, I would say, the most challenging thing. I was going to say time, but time was really never a challenging thing for myself when it came to caring for my mom or caring for my sister, because you just kind of, my mom and my sister are who raised me. So our bond has just been so close that it was never a question about time, because for me, timing just came organically. So I can't even say that was a challenging thing. I think just the challenging thing came from just adjusting to them, not being in their own home setting and being in a different, being in a nursing facility. So that was probably the most difficult, challenging thing.
That's okay. Thank you for sharing that. You know, for all our listeners out there, there will always be struggles. There will always be challenges there. But always remember that the bigger the challenge, the bigger the victory. The bigger decision that you're trying to decide right now, if you're going to put your loved ones in a nursing home, the bigger victory you will get after all of this, you know, major decisions that you're going through. So, you know, if you're listening right now, just hang in there. I mean, look at what Ralph's doing. You know, I know a lot of you are against putting our loved ones to the nursing home, but right now he placed his sister and the previous mother at the nursing home, and now he can do more when it comes to educating people about Alzheimer's and dementia. He's doing this. So, you know, this test that you're going through, guys, if you're listening right now, it will be a testimony for other people. And this is what Ralph is doing right now. He's being a testimony for other people, you know, sharing all his struggles. In that way, he can be a good encouragement for other people. So thank you, Ralph, for doing this and for continuing to do your fundraising for Alzheimer's. So
certainly. Thank you, Mike.
All right. Well, next question would be, why do you think caregivers experience burnout? I mean, I assume you have burnouts too every now and then. I do. So I did. I mean, I had burnout I didn't even literally took care of my dad one-on-one, but we had the burnout, you know, on his last few days. So why do you think we're having burnout?
Why do I think we haven't burnout? That's a very good question, Mike. And it's almost like it has so many different layers and facets to in regards to the answer. I would say that why we experience burnout is because we're so extremely passionate about the care of our loved ones and their well-being. And it's almost to a fault because we're so selfless that we often forget about our own selves and our own care gets lost in the translation, if you will, for lack of a better word. We focus so much on, you know, I gotta go see my loved one, I gotta be there, you know, to the point to where, you know, burnout just comes. So it's quite a balancing act in trying to balance self-care as well as being there for our loved ones. And I often experience that challenge even after all these years of, you know, going through this journey twice now in a row. I still experience it and still have to give myself reminders about, you know, in order for me to take care of them or be there for them, I have to take care of myself. And luckily, I have friends and family that often kind of remind me of that, even if I tend to forget. They tell me, you know, you can't pour from empty cup. That's one of the sayings I hear the most from family and friends. And so it brings back into awareness for me about, well, I have to take care of me in order for me to be there for them. So, but it's a balancing act for every caregiver that's on this path and journey. We all experience it. Doesn't matter if you've been doing this for, you know, 10 years or, you know, 10 months or 10 days, it's going to come. Everybody's going to experience it. And I think it's the most important thing is for people to just remember to try to take some deep breaths and try to take care of ourselves as best as possible. And
Those are such powerful advice, Ralph. I really appreciate it. I really like what you said about you cannot pour from an empty cup. You know, and you mentioned about self-care and self-care. If you're listening right now, if you're listening through the Alzheimer's Dementia Support Group or for Misunderstandings Dementia Support Group, I would really recommend and follow what Ralph is talking about self-care, because literally you cannot pour out from an empty cup. You cannot give what you do not have, just like money. You know, I cannot give money to my kids. I cannot even feed them if I don't have money myself. Same thing with caregiving. That's why it's called caregiving. You got to give care. How can you give care if you don't take care of yourself? So we as caregivers, you know, if you're taking care of a loved one right now, if you're taking care of your mother, your father, your spouse, you have to take care of yourself first. You know, just imagine in an airplane, when the oxygen mask goes down, there's an instruction there to put your oxygen mask first on yourself before you could help your child or the person beside you. So you got to help yourself first. You got to take care of yourself first. Thank you very much, Ralph, for sharing that pointer there. So, All right. Next question would be, what is the one thing that you wish you knew before all of this happened? You know, just one thing, you know.
Patience. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, for some reason, patience just came to mind for me, so I'm going to go with that. I always kind of consider myself a patient person, but more impatient than patient, let's just say. And the one thing I wish I had known more so was patience. But this path and journey will oftentimes sort of in its own way make you become patient with your loved ones, because of the disease and the progression of it, you really don't have choice, unless you're just a person that's just going to be rude and impatient with your loved one, which hopefully is not the case with everybody. But I just wish I had a better grasp of patience beforehand. But since being on this journey, I've become quite more patient with my loved ones.
Wow, that's powerful there. I love that word, patience. All right, I saw this quote one time, you know, says, "Lord, give me patience right now." Mm-hmm. So I think this disease, it will not only test your physical strength, it will actually test your patience. So I think you're doing a good job. You know, one technique, if you're listening right now again in our podcast and watching this show, if you feel like your patience is being challenged, do what Ralph said earlier, you know, take some deep breaths, right? So take some deep breaths. So thank you very much, Ralph, for that. All right, last question, Ralph, is what advice you can give other caregivers?
What advice would I give to other caregivers? Mm-hmm. Just to take things one moment at a time. That on this path and journey, there's going to be frustrating days, frustrating times. But kind of the flip side of all that is that there are some beautiful moments that I've had with my mom and my sister, that to where it hasn't all been bad, although, you know, the disease itself is, you know, kind of a downer, and it's seeing the suffering is quite hard. But there are a lot of beautiful moments. So my advice would be just to take things moment by moment, and to always treasure your moments and your visits and your interactions with your loved one, because those are things you'll take with you, you know, they'll last with you in your heart forever. So to treasure those moments, to take things moment by moment. Again, self-care is important. I'm
trying to think of something else, but those things are what come to mind as far as my tips for caregivers. Try to be strong as much as you possibly can. But just know that you're human. You're one person. Know when it's time to give yourself a break, because everybody on this journey is going to need a break for yourselves. And it's hard because being a caregiver, we're just naturally so selfless. You know, everything's about our loved one, everything. You know, I got to do this for my loved one. I got to do that for my loved ones. So just recognizing when you need to take breaks and, you know, take things moment by moment. Treasure each moment with your loved one. Those are just infinite memories that will always be with you. As you were saying earlier, your story can be a testimony for somebody else on this path and journey who may just be starting out on it. And you can share your experiences of what you went through.
Amen. Amen. I love what you said. You know, I actually wrote it down. One moment at a time, because most of the time we're so stressed out, you know, as a caregiver, we're stressed out about, you know, what is she going to do now? Should I just change her briefs, you know, change her diapers, clean her up again, you know, what a mess that she did. And sometimes we forget that we just have to enjoy the moment. And I think that's the key here, you know, enjoying the moment, because when all is said and done, you're listening right now, when all is said and done, your parents, your loved ones, they will pass away. And the moment that you have them right now is the only moment that you can enjoy. You know, the past is already gone. You know, it's already done. And the only thing that you can have right now is right now. So you enjoy the moment right now. And I really love what Ralph said, you know, moment by moment. And if I could only turn back time and be with my father, be with my mother, and enjoy that moment of them passing away. I'm not saying it in a bad way. You know, they were dying that day. If I could just relive that moment and hold their hands, I would enjoy it. And you know, if you're listening, just enjoy the moment right now. And it's hard, but, you know, just enjoy the moment. And last but not least, I like what he said. You're human. You're not superhuman. You're not superhero. We're not super caregivers. We're all humans here. You got to take time for rest and self-care.
Yes, indeed.
Any parting words, Ralph? I like your shirt, by the way. Walk to End Alzheimer's.
Oh, thank you, sir. This is one of my old shirts I got from a walk in 2014. It says, I don't know if you can read it. It says, I have
End Alzheimer's.
And then there was a box, and I wrote my mother's name, Eva Lake.
Eva Lake. Oh, wow.
In 2014.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so.
Well, any last parting words and wisdom from the great Mr. Ralph Lake?
I would say in parting that this thought just came to mind for me. It's a lot of times with this disease, we often wish things could go back to how they used to be with our loved one. We focus on how our loved one used to be pre-dementia or pre-Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to get stuck on that and to want to have that again. I know sometimes I experience that, those thoughts and those feelings, like, man, I wish I had my sister back pre this disease, this lovely woman who loved cooking, interacted with her family, took care of her mom, took care of me, her baby brother, and a woman that always loved to be around people. She was always, you know, a good friend, a good mom, a good sister, good daughter, to every, she never had anybody, she never met any strangers, because she made friends with whoever she met. And oftentimes, we have to put ourselves back into remembering that that they're still somewhat the same person, but we have to focus on them as they are now and not dwell so much on how they used to be, you know, because it's hard. It's hard. It's hard seeing a fully functional adult go from being self-sustaining and being able to take care of themselves to now they need, you know, 24-hour care with baby, with changing of their, you know, briefs and things of that nature. So it's often easy to get caught up on, you know, man, you know, I remember when, you know, she was how she was prior to this. And my advice would be for individuals not to be so focused on that, but just to enjoy your loved one as they are right now. And you know, that would be my parting words, I guess, wisdom, if any.
Thank you very much, Kyle. Appreciate you there. So again, thank you very much. We appreciate you for listening to our podcast and this show. And if you got any question, shoot us a message. And last but not least, we love you and God bless you. Thank you.
You're listening to Misunderstanding Dementia Podcast. This episode is brought to you by Misunderstanding Dementia Course, and you can put in 50 to get a 50% discount on the course. Thank you.